You're listening to sermons from Bethany Baptist Church. For more information, visit us at bethanychicago.org.
Good morning. Well, today just happened something very interesting that helps me to show you what I'm going to talk about. So today we had a problem with the computer. For some reason, Windows 10 decided to update on Sunday morning. So they're updating all the computers in all the churches, probably. But that's interesting because when something that we don't expect happens, we tend to say, why, right? Why this is happening to me? And we don't like it because that wasn't in our plans. Our plan was better, we think. But when we read the Bible, we see a God that is sovereign. So that means a God that has authority over every single thing that happens in the world, good or bad. In the life of every person, every animal, every plant, every single particle, the smaller that exists in the world or in the universe, God has control over it. That means that God is a sovereign God. And that is exactly what the Bible is teaching. We could go through different passages in the Bible to talk about the sovereignty of God. But today, I want to talk about Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And see on Abram, or Abraham, at that point in chapter 12 is Abram. In chapter 15, God has given him the same promise that is given in chapter 12. And now is Abraham instead of Abram, a father of multitude, which means his second new name. So Genesis 12, verses 1, 2, and 3 says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" We're going to go through those three verses and also connect it with some other verses in the New Testament to see how those promises of the Lord fulfill. But let's pray first. God, we need your help this morning. We are going through different situations, different families here represented, different works we do, or probably schools we study. And we need your help to apply the word, because it doesn't make sense just to have knowledge without finding what you wants us to do, Lord, or obey, or stop doing. So help us to humble hearts today to hear your word, to be aware of the truth, and obey it, to see your character, to exalt your name this morning through the scripture, that you will be glorified. And we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Very good. So, I want to basically say three things about Abram at this point on these three verses. And those three things I'm going to say are also related with us. So you put yourself in the place of Abram, okay? So first is in the verse 1, the second one is in the verse 2, and the third one is in the verse 3. The first one says that God chose Abraham, or Abram. He chose him. In his sovereign will, he chose Abraham, or Abram. The second one is God blessed Abram. And the third one is God has a purpose for Abram. So it's electing him or choosing him. Second is blessing him, and third one is a purpose for him. That is also, as I said before, related with us. So we can say he choose me. He's choosing me. From a group, he decided to take me. He is blessing me, and he's also having a purpose for me. So, what is interesting about Abram, if let's imagine this is the first time you're reading Genesis chapter 12, or Genesis. And then you go and you read, now the Lord said to Abram, where the first questions you're going to ask is, are, first, who is the Lord that is saying this verse, and who is Abram? Because there's a conversation, right? So if this is the first time you're going to ask, who's the Lord, and who is the Lord, and who is Abram, to know what the conversation is about. So if you read chapter 11, tells you a little bit about Abram before. We just have a couple of times that we see the name of Abram. The first one is in chapter 11 and verse 26. When Terah had lived 70 years, he fathered Abram, Nahor, and Haran. So that's the first time that you see Abram in the Bible. In the 10 chapters before, you never hear about Abram, okay? So you don't know anything about him. And then says in the chapter 11, verse 27, says, now these are the generations of Terah. Terah fathered Abram, Nahor, and Haran fathered Lot. Then in the verse 30, now Sarai was barren, she had no child. Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. So that's what we know about Abram. We don't know anything about him. We just know that he has a father, he has a wife, and then his father died, and then the word of the Lord comes to him. Okay, so here is God talking to Abram, and nothing special. So my point here is God is choosing Abram to do something without Abram having something special in himself. He's just another person in the world. Nothing special in him. And if we see his life, we see a sinner, the same I am, the same you are. Just another sinner that is struggling to follow in the law of God and obeying God. So, nothing special in him. So, before we talk more about Abram, let's talk about the first words in verse 1. It says, now the Lord. So, as I said before, this is the first time we're reading chapter 12 of Genesis. So, who is this Lord? So, to know who is this Lord, you need to go and read the 11 chapters before in Genesis. And you start in chapter 1. In chapter 1, verse 1 says that the Lord created heaven and earth. So, who's this Lord? It's the same Lord who created everything. So, this is the creator of the universe. And all things exist. So, the creator of the universe is talking to Abram, that we don't know too much about him. And he has nothing special. But the creator of Abram himself and the universe, and you and I, he is talking to a man, to another sinner. Who else is God? We know when we read then chapter 2 and chapter 3, God created from dust in the earth. He created man and he breathed out life, and man became alive, and then he sinned, chapter 3 of Genesis. And he fell apart from the presence of God. So he will be condemned to be separated from God and have eternal punishment. But God himself decided to save man. So who else is God? God is also the savior of humanity. He is the creator. Man fall apart from the presence of God. And then he decided to save man, to restore the relationship between man and God. So then we see a lot of idolatry in chapters 4 and forward. Because man decided to be selfish and he wants to worship himself. There, man is also creating creating idols from wood, from stone, from gold. And God said, I am the only true God. So who is this God? Is the creator of the universe, is the savior of humanity and creation, and also he is the only true God and Lord. There's no other Lord apart from God. This first word, now the Lord, that's the Lord that is talking to Abram, a sinner, and also the same one that is talking to us today through the scripture. So God chose you the same way Abram was chosen by God, Because we have these things in common with Abram. First one, Abram was born. And when we read the scripture, we know that the Lord is forming every human being in the womb of his or her mother. So God created you in the womb of your mother. And he was seeing you in the womb of your mother. So he created you the same way he created Abram. So that means he chose you to be here. He also chose you to be here this morning because he is a sovereign God and he has authority over all the things. Not even a leaf from a tree falls to the dirt without the control of the Lord. And that also means that you are here this morning too, because he is a sovereign God that brought you to this place. Now, when we read the next part, it says, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. God is giving a command to Abram. God is also giving commandments to you and to me. And we, even though the Lord is a sovereign God, we have the responsibility to respond to that commandment. So we can say yes, or we can say no. We can obey, or we can disobey God's commandments. Up to you. You want to obey, or you want to disobey. So that's the first one. So it's clear. I hope you understand God is choosing you to be in this world. And every person in this world, God decided to give life to that person because he's a sovereign God. Not a human being can come to the world without the authority and control of God. And when somebody dies, that's also because of the control and authority of the Lord. And when somebody is not a born person, it's also because that person doesn't exist because God don't allow it to happen. Number two says that God is giving blessings to Abram. Number two says, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. So here is a promise to Abram. And it's just good things happening here for him. And he will probably be so excited about all the things the Lord was telling him for the first time. Oh, I'm going to be a great nation. He didn't have kids though. But the Lord is talking to him. The creator of the universe is talking to him. And is saying, you will be blessed by me. A great nation, a great name, and many blessings. So the purpose today to share these three things is that you can rest in a sovereign God. So think about how is this helping you to rest. When something goes out of your control, that means God is in control. So you can rest. You have to respond to God's commandments. You have to say yes, or you can say no. But the sovereignty of God as Christian is helping you to understand that he is in control of your life. So you don't have to be worried, even though you have a responsibility. God has many blessings for you too. So the question is, can you count the blessings? David, when he was writing Psalms, and prayers to the Lord, he was saying, I can't count the blessings. I can't spend my whole life trying to count them and the mercies towards me. And I can't. That should be our same response. I can't count the blessings of the Lord because they are many. And we should spend more time saying, thank you, Lord, for all the blessings you are giving me than asking things to the Lord. That's the key. I was talking to a friend in Honduras just by text. And he said, I'm praying a lot. I spend a lot of time praying, and that's good. I spend 2 hours every day, he said, in a roll, just praying to the Lord. But I feel like I'm lacking of something in my prayers. And I asked him, so how much time do you spend worshiping the Lord? He said, a little bit in the beginning and a little bit at the end. Like 1 minute and 1 minute at the end. So how much time do you spend confessing your sin? Like 30 seconds? How much time do you spend giving thanks to the Lord? He said, a little bit at the beginning. Like 40 seconds or 1 minute. How much time do you spend asking for things? Most of the time. So that's usually what happens in our prayers. We don't spend time worshiping and giving thanks and counting the blessings of the Lord. So we should change the way we pray. But the problem today is that we get confused between God's benefits and God's purpose. Sometimes we think that the purpose of God is to give us gifts that we are going to that those gifts are going to fulfill the needs we have. So God, finally, is our personal problem solver. He's there to help me with my problems and my needs. I have God because God, it's good for me to help me with the needs that I have. So he's like a little idol that I have in my backpack. And when I need him, I take him out and ask things to him. And it's not bad to ask things to the Lord. It's very important to go to the Lord and pray for all needs we have. But our vision could be diminished if we think that way. Because the Bible is not teaching us that God is to solve all of our problems. Don't limit your vision to your personal needs or choices or worries. Or your culture. We will see that when God was giving promises to Abram or Abraham, it wasn't because of Abraham, but because of God, because of the sake of his own name. So God is more worried for the glory of his name than for us. But when he is glorified, then our needs are fulfilled. But his glory is first. But we want to go backwards. We want to work with our needs. And if we have time, then we're going to worship God. The same way to Abram, God has a great purpose for you. He wants to give you salvation. Isn't that a great purpose? That's bigger than anything you want in this world. Because he's offering you eternal life. So the purpose of God is his glory, and his glory is giving you salvation. So what is the purpose for Adam, for Abraham? All the families of the earth shall be blessed. That's the purpose. Look at the verse 2. It says, I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. Why is God giving blessings to Abram? Because God wants Abram to be a blessing for others. The purpose, number 3, I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. Why? Because the one who honors Abram is honoring God, and the one who is dishonoring Abram is dishonoring God. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That's the purpose of the blessings of Abram. When Abram is blessed, then all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So when you are blessed, you are giving blessing to others. That's the purpose of God, to bless you. So your benefit is the benefit of others. So through making Abram famous, great, and blessed, God will bring blessings to all the families of the earth. So how are the promises of God to Abraham or Abram fulfilled? And there is a theologian, John Stott, that says that the promises of Abraham are fulfilled progressively in the past, in the present, and in the future. And this is very interesting when you see the scripture. So in the past, obviously, we're seeing it here in Genesis chapter 12. He's saying, this is what is going to happen. So he's given the promises to Abram. To Abram, then chapter 15, to Abraham, which is the same with a new name. And then Abraham just has one son, the son of the promise is Isaac. And then the Lord affirms the same promises and says to Isaac, I will bless all the families of the earth through you. And then Isaac didn't see the promise fulfilled. But Isaac has Jacob. And Jacob is the one that the Lord chose to bless all the families of the earth. And he has 12 kids. And then from those 12, God chose Judah, the tribe of Judah. That's what we call the Jews today, the Jews in Israel. And through Judah came the King David. And the King David, it's when you read Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 says, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So the promise is being fulfilled progressively in the time, and the Lord is affirming his promises to Abraham through other people, through his generation. And in Matthew chapter 1 and also Luke chapter 1, you can see the genealogy of Jesus Christ and see how he's fulfilling the promises. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So who is finally fulfilling the promises in Genesis chapter 12? Jesus Christ. All the families of the earth shall be blessed through him, through Jesus Christ. And who are those families of the earth? We are. We are receiving the promises to Abraham through Jesus Christ in the present. Let me read Romans chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. It says, that is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. So we can call also Abraham our father. But Jesus Christ said, John the Baptist was preaching one time in Matthew chapter 3, verse 9. Because the Jews said, we have our father Abraham. And they were very proud of that. And they said, he is our father. But the other nations don't have Abraham as their father. But John the Baptist says something different. He says, and do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Which means the Gentiles, the non-Jews, we. One more. Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 through 9 says, just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. Faith in whom? Faith in Jesus Christ. So this promise in Genesis chapter 12 is being fulfilled through faith through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord. All the nations shall be blessed. So we receive the blessings from God through Jesus Christ, who is fulfilling the promises. Next verse says, and the scripture, foreseeing that God will justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham. Preached the gospel. So God preached the gospel to Abraham, saying what? Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8. In you shall all the nations be blessed. That's the gospel in the Old Testament. That's the gospel in the Old Testament. What is the gospel? Jesus Christ is the gospel. He died on the cross. He rose again. He had victory. Victory over sin and death. That's the gospel. So, Apostle Paul is saying to the Galatians, God is preaching the gospel in Genesis chapter 12. In you shall all the nations be blessed. He is preaching Jesus Christ, the anointed, through Abraham. Verse 9. So then those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith, as we are. We need to believe, repent from our sins. That makes us not just sons of Abraham and daughters of Abraham, but sons of God. John chapter 1 and verse 12. God has given us authority to call him Father through Jesus Christ. So we have the past, Genesis chapter 12. We have the present in Jesus Christ. Today, we have the gospel and the fulfillment of these promises through Jesus Christ. And we can enjoy Jesus Christ and salvation in him today. But we have also the future, the purpose of his promises. And that is giving us rest. We can rest so good. We can sleep this night so good. And we can rest in the Lord without being worried, because we rest in his promises that are not dependent on us, but on Jesus Christ. In the future, Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number. Imagine this, in the future. After this, says John, receiving revelation from God. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, which is Jesus and God, the Father, clothed in white robes, that's you and I, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. So every tribe, every people, from every language, declaring that God is the Lord and that Jesus Christ, the Lamb, is our Savior. That is the future of this promise. So we should have a global vision as Christians. As believers of Jesus Christ, we should think farther than just this room or McKinley Park. God is working. God is at work, not just today, but from the beginning, to reach out every nation and tongue and every people, every family on earth. And we need to rest on that, because he's a sovereign God and he is at work. And he also chose you to not just to be saved, but to share that wonderful news to others. Because through the blessing you have in Jesus Christ, if you have Jesus Christ, you are saved. And now you can also share that wonderful truth to others. So you are being blessed to be a bless to others. Finally, the blessings we receive are for his glory. So think about first the glory of God. That's the purpose of giving us the blessings. When we are blessed, He receives the glory. When we give Him glory, we receive the blessings. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, God, because you are a sovereign God. You have authority over us. We have a response to give to those commandments and things you want us to do. But we rest in Jesus Christ today, God. Thank you for being a sovereign God. We want to worship your name through every little thing we do. We want to also share the gospel to those who don't know you, Lord, to those who are not giving you the glory. So everybody, as we read in Revelation, can say on a loud voice that you are God and Jesus is the Lord. Thank you for these verses we just read this morning, and help us, Lord, to apply in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon from Bethany. We invite you to worship together with us on Sundays. For more information, visit BethanyChicago.org.